just became a raven.
Your art matters. It's what got me here.
Let's go. Ravens on three. 1, 2, 3,
Ravens! Hello and welcome to the Ravens, a One Tree Hill podcast. I'm Simon and I love One Tree Hill.
And I'm Dominic and I've seen 144 episodes of One Tree Hill.
And tonight's episode for debate is Season 7, Episode 14, Family Affair.
I'm Drew Barrymore, and you're listening to The Ravens Podcast with Simon and Dom.
So hello and welcome to The Ravens, a One Tree Hill podcast where it is always 10:30 at night, so it's time to grab the snacks from the sweet cupboard, move on upstairs and settle in as tonight's episode for debate is Season 7, Episode 14, Family Affair. Dom, we are her. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. All the better for seeing you. And how are you, good sir?
I'm good. I'm absolutely dripping in Ravens merch right now. I've got the new Adidas hoodie on, or as our North American friends would say, the Adidas black. There's you and me on my chest. Ravens. Where it says underneath, where it's always 10:30 at night, with a pigeon being chased by a raven. I could not be feeling any better. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. I don't have any of that, but I do have your enjoyment of it, which is just as good for me. So, you know, I don't need all the pomp and frills. I just need to have the enjoyment that you're enjoying yourself. So I'm happy.
You got the Nike one and multiple Mighty 90s ones, and you get the joy of shipping out the Ravens ones.
I do.
But before we get there, I meant to do this last week, but I forgot, so please forgive me. But Dom, we have a couple of Ravens.
New fodder.
They're like the fish. They're the fishes in Fox River for our Prison Break fans. We've got an upgrade and then we've got a new recruit. Which one would you like to do first?
Ooh. Let's do the new recruit first. Let's get that induction done.
Well, coming in straight in, not fucking about, at varsity... It's Colleen.
Varsity had a gap that we couldn't fill. We struggled for so long. We've got thousands of sweat towel collectors, but they just weren't good enough to upgrade to what we needed them to be. Varsity was missing something, that key, that element, that just that X factor, that pizzazz, that pop, that someone to do something different. But We found it. We found the person. We found the one. We found the thing. We found the pop. We found the X factor. And it's Colleen. You just became a Raven.
Which kind of was very well done. It kind of reminds me of that, you know, that Daddy Yankee song. Ba-da-da, gasolina. Here comes Colleen. Ba-da-da, gasolina. Do you remember that song?
I do.
Banger.
I do, yeah.
So welcome, Colleen. Thank you. And then Dom, we've had an upgrade from JV to V, from junior varsity to varsity. I'm pretty sure it's because there's no live watch along, and this is somebody that would join the live watch along a lot. So now they want to get that back catalog links, you know, be able to catch up with the video releases. I expect you to do an impression while you do it also. It's Gigi.
Gigi, hello. It feels like it's been an age. Gigi's been out on the sidelines just for a little bit too long. But you know what? There's an opening in my lineup. And there's only one person that can go to. I'm looking in the JV and I'm thinking, who is gonna fill that role? Who's the one? Who's the person that can step up from that team and make it into varsity? And of course, the one, the only, the mysterious international, Gigi. You just became a better Raven.
Gigi, you know we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so, so much.
Yeah,
thank you, Dom, for inducting some new Ravens or better Ravens.
I feel like I'm better at that when I'm not feeling so great. So maybe I should be ill every time we have new Ravens.
Yeah, you step it up a little.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's just like,
I like
really
it.
Push myself to that new level.
Well, for anyone that doesn't watch the watch along videos back, we literally just watched the episode together, Dom and I. It literally finished 30 seconds before we hit record to do the podcast. And this is because my son was sick in the last episode, so we didn't do the watch along straight after. And then I suggested to Dom that maybe we should just do it and watch it and then podcast straight away afterwards. So we're going to try this format and see if it's better. It was fun. It was nice to watch it, and we paused a lot and were sort of having some commentary on it, which I think we wouldn't do as much if there were, you know, other people with us. So hopefully there are some benefits or advantages to the way that we're doing it. So time will tell. But Dom, let's talk about this episode, the return of the Mac, the return of our boy David with all of the drama. Where do you want to start? Multiple threads. Do you want to start with your boy?
Let's start with the main man himself, Mr. David, insert surname here, because he's just a G.
Well, tell us about David. Tell us what our boy got up to in this one.
David's on an absolute rampage. You know, old Quinny Pants has upset him for the last time. It's kind of it. You know, you didn't do what I wanted you to do, David. So we're going to get, you know, I'm going to pretend I slept with Clay and I'm going to upset you and break your heart. And, you know, we're going to get divorced. So he's gone out there. He's, you know, moping around. He finds himself in a dive bar somewhere. Well, I can't remember where they were, like Tennessee.
No. He found himself in a stripper aerobics class.
Oh yeah, I know, but I kind of
she's
in a dive bar, like when Nathan sees her, right?
Sorry, yes, yeah, you're going all the way back to season two. You're going back, yeah, the Coyote Ugly ripoff bar.
That's it. And he thinks, oh wow, you know, she's learned some pretty cool skills there. I haven't seen her for ages. Maybe I catch up with her. And he pops along to, you know, a little gym session that she's at, and he pretends that it's an accident, and he goes in and, you know, ends up staying for the class, and, you know, the after show party was even better. So there you go. David's, you know, two James sisters down, one to go.
Jesus Christ. Are you saying you think it was planned? Do you think he was just like, this is, you know, revenge? You don't think it was just coincidental?
I think Taylor has a bigger part to play in it than we're really giving her credit for. But I think he's gone along with it because he wants to hurt her. He wants to hurt Quinn. Which is a dick move. It's a proper, proper dick move. Don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen, and the audience at home. I do think Dave has made a bit of a dick move here. But that's good content. We kind of like justice for David and all that, like Roy or Ray or whatever the guy's name was that got killed in the petrol station. You know, it's all about these the small guy that isn't, you know, isn't getting the just desserts, I guess. But you know, he's kind of getting his own back, or feels like he's getting his own back, but he doesn't know the full story. But he rapidly begins to regret his decision towards the end of the episode when it all comes out. But Taylor is a bitch. Taylor is an absolute mess of a person and is just really nasty to her sisters. And I feel like a lot was kind of dumped on Haley for this episode. Quinn kind of wasn't really taking any responsibility, and then at the end suddenly kicks in and takes responsibility. So it was a weird one. I found it a kind of a strange path for all of them, but Haley seemed really aggrieved by all of it more than anyone else. Took responsibility of it more than anyone else. Seemed to take a bit of blame more than anyone else. And it was, yeah, it was all a bit weird. So What do you think? What did you think of their weird triangle of doom?
Yeah. Well, I also agree. As much as we're joking around about David being our boy and stuff, he obviously did not act in a good way in this, and this was obviously a terrible idea. But I also agree that Taylor, like, his is like reactionary. Like, it's not right, obviously, and he sees the errors of his ways, like his cause and effect, and he's done something negative. He apologizes. He gets it by the end of the episode. But Taylor's is like deep seated. Like, I can't remember if we get to the root cause of where this has come from, and it would really frustrate me if there is no impetus to why she just treats her sisters so poorly, because she really is a bitch. Like, and so as the episode goes on, they end up fighting, like the three sisters, and they end up in the pool, fighting in the pool. And it's mentioned that Nathan breaks it up, but we don't actually see it. Now, this has never been a situation that I've been in, so I can't, you know, say for certain. But I'm pretty certain if I saw anybody, her sister or anyone included, trying to, like, put hands on Effany in any kind of way, I would be in there. Like, I would be in there. Not like punching women. Like, I've never punched anybody in my entire life. I've been punched, but I've never punched anyone ever. But I would be in there to, like, break it up and to separate it. Like, it was kind of played for laughs that, like, Clay and Nathan and David, they're all just sort of sipping their beers and, like, watching it happen. But no, in reality, you'd be in there, right, Dom? If your girlfriend was in some sort of scuffle.
Yeah, of course. Right? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like, Nathan wasn't even wet, so he obviously didn't jump in. So he must have been standing on the edge with, like, you know, those, like, swimming noodles. Just, like, whipping them with a swimming noodle. Like, stop hitting each other. Stop hitting each other. So that's how I imagine Nathan dealt with that situation. But, yeah, it was played off as a joke and kind of, like, silly. Can I ask, is Taylor the oldest?
Yeah, I think it goes...
Taylor Quinn Haley.
Does it... Yeah, I think Haley's the baby sister. Yeah. Because there was some, like, power dynamics between Quinn and Haley being like, you know, I'm your big sister kind of thing.
Yeah. So what I kind of see it as Taylor's first only child. Quinn comes along, ruins that. She's the baby. Then Haley comes along and she is the baby. And you kind of think you'd have middle child syndrome. But we've got older child syndrome where the older child almost kind of didn't really amount to much. Haley was obviously incredibly intelligent and the smart one. Quinn, maybe the talented artsy one. And Taylor never really quite connected with anything. So maybe that's kind of why. I mean, you know, you can imagine Quinn getting on with Huey Lewis because, you know, he's quite artsy too. But you can just kind of see that in that family dynamic, maybe there just wasn't that connection. She didn't really have a thing. And maybe that's what made her feel left out. So her thing was just kind of being the sexy one. I mean, the over-sexualized one, perhaps. And the one that could steal your boyfriend because she's, you know, that way inclined and stuff. So maybe that's what they're trying to portray here, is that because she felt like she didn't have, like, a place or a role, even though she would have done, you know, as the older sister and, you know, in a very loving family from what the show has portrayed to us, except for when the parents just upped and fucked off.
And didn't attend weddings and things.
Yeah, like and graduations and all that. I think she's probably just coming from a place of feeling kind of slightly outside that core sort of family value, I suppose. So she just went rebellious. And that's her thing. That's my theory anyway. How I kind of see it from these episodes and how they reacted in this episode in particular, and at the end as well, just like even when they're sitting with their feet in the pool, you kind of think, oh, this is going to be like a tender moment. Actually, it's actually quite sad. It's actually quite a sad moment of going, you know, Haley calling her out as being a bitch, Quinn kind of turning out, yeah, you are kind of a bitch, you know, I kind of think they try to make that funny, but actually you can see Taylor's like trying to hold back the tears. She's trying not to cry about it. She's like, yeah, okay, fine, I'm a bitch. But nobody's actually asking why. Nobody's saying like, what's really causing this? What's the root behind all of this? What have we done to make you feel that way? Or what's happened in your life that's kind of led you down this path? What can we do differently? What can we help with? Let's explore this. So, yeah.
Yeah, I sent you this like YouTube short of Key and Peele, and they're doing like a skit. And anybody, just put it into YouTube, Key and Peele, and it's like self-aware bully, something like that. And it's this bully that's bullying this other kid, and he's saying like he's so self-aware of his own commentary. It's like, I'm gonna internalize all of this and take this out on you tomorrow, and blah blah blah. And it's kind of like saying everything that's inside, like the reason for why he's acting in those certain ways. And it's so funny, but it's also so important for like people to see, because that is what is happening within everybody, like every day. We're all reacting to how we've been conditioned in our childhood and growing up and whatever else. And yeah, I agree. It would be not. I really hope we get to see the reason, or we're told the reason, or she has this like. And I really can't remember. Like genuinely, I'm sure it must happen. But I hope we get this epiphany moment, because yeah, that would be super helpful. And the whole point of the show is about evolving and learning from our mistakes, etc. So it'd be great. It'd be great to see that. But I do think the actress is really good.
Yeah,
playing Taylor.
I totally agree. It would be good to kind of round it off as well, because everybody's path in this program does change, and fairly drastically as well. Look at Victoria and, is it Paul, Julian's dad? How different they are as parents now. How different they are. They're not the same character, essentially. You know, Victoria's pushing Julian into coming to see Brooke, and showing Brooke that kind of passion between them and that connection is still there. And Paul kind of going, yeah, you go for it, son. You direct this. Your name is at the top of this list. And all of these little elements are like how far these characters have come. So it would be nice to kind of get that for Taylor as well. Although she's not like a regular, I think maybe she'll be in it till the end, you know, like bouncing back and forth. Like she'll appear for a few episodes a season or whatever it might be. Hopefully we get some like kind of context and like a resolution, perhaps. You know, she's just like, I'm going to mellow out now. I'm going to, you know, settle down, maybe with Mouth once he's finished with Miss Lauren. And then, you know, we'll go from there.
Oh, God. We'll pause on Mouth and Miss Lauren. We'll get to that. But it was also played a lot for comedy, or for breaking the tension of the three men in that dinner scenario of Nathan, David and Clay. Something awkward said, I'm gonna sip my beer. Like they're really using that prop as kind of a crutch of, okay, I've said this thing, I'm gonna sip my beer now. And I think partly it's like they're using it to try and age up the characters a little bit, because we're meant to be seeing them as, you know, adults now, which we do, but they're also meant to be like 23, which is just so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
What I find really weird is that David is like clearly 35. He seems like he's much, much older than everyone else.
Yeah, like, he's a couple years younger than us.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I feel like the gap is between Quinn and David. And that's kind of the separation piece, that you were so ambitious and you had this going for you, and you wanted to do that, and you wanted to direct this, and you wanted to create a documentary or whatever it is, and you've lost that, and you've kind of settled for this job, and you're doing this now and that now. It's like, I think it's because he's actually much older than you. He's got to a place of like, let's say, a different stage in life where priorities are different, actions are different, his way of thinking is different, you know, and that's where he's at, and she's not there yet. So that's kind of what the breakdown was all about. So yeah, it's a weird family dynamic, but the kind of comedy moments between them, the drinking the beer, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's kind of to break it up. Throwing Chuck into the mix as well with Jamie, It's a kind of bit of comic relief. Your family's crazy, you know, and all of that. It's like, well, you know, your mum's an alcoholic, whatever, mate.
Oh, leave Chuck's mum out of this. But we've been saying the whole show from like season one, they're in high school. Better to think of them as they're in college. Okay, they're you know, older now. Better to think of them as like in their mid-20s or late 20s, rather than like their early 20s. I actually now feel like it makes more sense to think of them as like 30, 31, 32 kind of age now, because there's like kids in the mix, and it is about, are we settling down? Like Brooke and Julian, for example, it's almost like, I mean, they're not quite there yet, are they? And back and forth, and it's all over the place and turbulent, but it's almost like Brooke kind of wants to settle down and Julian wants to settle down. Well, it's like, yeah, that happens more at that kind of age. Like, I know I'm a bit of an anomaly to some degree. I've been with Effany for 15 years this year, and, you know, I'm 36, 37 soon. But, you know, so since I was 22, and that's quite unique. Like, that's not really how it happens, right? I assume most people probably meet or start settling down in their early 30s, late 20s, early 30s, do you think?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess, like, I mean, times have changed, haven't they? Like, if you think about this, if we were having this conversation 50 years ago, it would be totally different, wouldn't it? You know, so I think the day and age that we're in now is people settle down a lot later in life. But I think it's in cycles, it's in waves, it's in, you know, it's location as well. There's kind of... and circumstances make everything a little bit different, but you know, when you find the one, you find the one. So
it's true, whether you're ready for the one or not. I mean, that's basically like, you know, Nathan and Haley's trajectory. He had so much evolving to do, as did I in my life, you know. Like, it happens. But yeah, I think now it's better to think of them as if they're 30. In my mind,
I kind of see Nathan as, although he's probably the maturest or the one that's able to kind of like have the most change in his life, and the one that's able to kind of calm things down a bit better and contextualize stuff and make Haley feel better and kind of calm her down and settle her and stuff, I still see him as the youngest, but not in a like a, oh, he's so young, but I see him as like 28 and the rest are like 30 or about to turn 30. So he's got he's not quite at the same age, but I think that's a good bracket, like 28 to 30 is like exactly like you're saying. It's a good way to frame them. You know, this whole show should have been done in later stages, but yeah.
I see that too. Poor Chuck. So I mean, we were speaking about this on the watch along, but so Nathan's gonna be in a video game, and do you say video game or computer game?
Horses for courses, isn't it? I'd mostly say computer game, but video game's fine. It's the same sort of thing.
I said video game when I worked in like an office job when I was like 22, 23, or 23, I think. And this guy that was like my manager, who was a bit of a dick, was like, well, he was a dick. Was like, I was like, oh, something about a video game. And he was like, computer game, you're not American. And I was like, all right, well... and you're not a dick.
Well, if you're playing
yes, you are.
If you're playing it on a console, it's not a computer, technically, is it? So,
there's also just, you know, when you're just like a dick for no reason. I got in quite good though once. So he was, oh no. I was about to say he was quite short.
That's okay.
Not that you would know anything about that.
We're the same height, so I don't know what you're inferring there, but.
Oh, I hated this job, like working in this office, right? And on a Friday, you could wear what you want, right? Rather than having to wear,
dress down Friday.
What a fucking shit way to live. Like, told what to wear, like all of this stuff. I worked this out today. I've been working for 14 years my first 7 years was working in places in like the college later, but in offices before that. And then the second 7 years has all been working from home. And it's just like, what a blessing. Like, long may it continue. But yeah, I was wearing an I Heart NY t-shirt that I'd got from like New York from when I'd been like before or whatever. And he was being a dick to me about something. And he was just like, oh, I like your t-shirt. And I was like, yeah, they probably don't do it in kids. And he was like 10 years older than me and like my senior by far at work. He was a real dick, man. Like, he shouted at me once, like in front of the entire office. It was like a mass floor. Like, there was no cubicles, no dividers. Yeah. There was just people at desks and whatever. And I'd got a calculation wrong, like something wrong. I'm 23. You know, this is someone that's probably in their early to mid 30s. And he just shouted at me like so loud that it like stopped everybody. Everyone stopped to like look up kind of thing. Did anyone say anything? No. It was like a super like toxic environment. I like held it together, but then I like had to go to the toilet to like breathe, to like get my breath back. Like, I had like tears in my eyes. Like, it was like a horror. It was horrible. Yeah, it was so horrible. And that's when I was like desperate to try and get out, to try and get into, I was trying to get like into teaching or get into something to like try and get into like a positive career. Or I had this thing in my head. I was like, I need to do something that's like helping people, that's beneficial to people, not just like, you know, I was working for like a supermarket, but like in the offices, and just like, I hated it. And then I got a job as like a carer, and it all fell through. And then that's when I messaged you to be like, because it was near Christmas, I just got a credit card and put like a holiday on it. It was like, oh my god. And I was like renting, so like living out the home. I was so stressed, and I messaged you being like, I really need a job. Like, is there anything you can do? And you got me a job, like, within, like, a couple of the days, like, in, like, the warehouse bit. Yeah, I did it for about 6 weeks or something, and then got a job at the college. It really, like, helped me out, man. Like, you really got me out of a bind, so always appreciate that, man.
Anytime, and always.
Thank you. But now we're both living the work from home dream. Yeah.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? I love it. Absolutely love it. You know, hopefully that doesn't change in my near future, you know. So
it won't. If it did, I'd find you. I'd get you at the inclusion. I don't know if I've ever said the name of it. We'll find you a job at the working from home doing something. It was never happening. You will never set foot in an office or place of employment again.
Another supermarket.
Yeah. But wait, okay. So all of that's happening at the Scott James residence, right? Kind of ends in a positive way, like Quinn and Clay, it brings them closer together. And it's almost like, well, they don't have like David's blessing, but David kind of it's civil, at least, right, between them two. And Quinn and David sort of have not a reconciliation, but a parting of ways that's a bit more mutual. She gives him the ring back, and it's kind of like a less dramatic end. Where, you know, we'll see obviously what happens with that. But then Quinn and Clay go back to Clay's house. He's had the locks changed, so we were saying on the watch along, he must own this house, because you don't change the locks on a rental, right?
Yeah, definitely not. I think unless you've got permission of the landlord, but I think he owns it. I think it's his place, you know. Obviously doing well working for Nathan and this other guy. You know.
Dope spot, dope house, that's pool. It. Had a floozy in the pool.
But did she say she was like having a whore bath or something like that?
Whore bath, something about a whore bath, yeah.
I think Quinn is really judgmental.
Ooh, speak on it, son.
I think she's really, really judgmental. She's judgmental about Clay for this entire episode. I know what type of person you are. It's difficult for you to come out of that. It's only been a couple of months, you know, between us. I know what you're like. I know, you know, you've been with lots of people. And he's saying all along, he's saying with a smile on his face and no kind of like, I would be hurt by comments like that. I would be hurt by it. I would be like a bit perturbed, like saying, haven't I done enough to prove to you that I'm not like that, you know, or I'm not like that anymore. And that, you know, you're my priority and you're what, you're important to me. And that's what I care about. That person turning up in the pool. Yes, that's not good and unexpected, but it's unexpected for me. I've asked them to leave. So it is what it is. But, you know, I've changed. I've moved on. That person has gone. I've changed the locks. I've done this. I've done that. But just throughout the episode, there's like, although it's like, there's like a bit of lovingness there and a bit of banter, she's still really judgmental of him and his character. And I actually found it quite difficult to watch in those moments, like her actually judging him for that reason. And I mean, she's kind of like that with the rest of them as well, but mostly with him. And I guess it's difficult to let these things go. I understand that. I get that completely from her perspective. And her not wanting to be hurt. But, you know, yeah, she just seems really judgmental to me.
I guess also, if we come back to what we were just talking about earlier about cause and effect in people's behavior, she knows that the cause of him being kind of a bachelor, playboy, etc., or at least appearing that way, is because his wife passed away and he was not wanting to commit or be in any relationships. And I think maybe it'd be fair to say he was just trying to distract himself from the pain. You know, like some people go to alcohol or drugs. He was going to ladies.
Well, it's true. I mean, he's hiding it, isn't he? He's hiding the fact that, you know, nobody knew. For a start, he didn't even tell Nathan that his wife had died or whatever. So, he's hiding this, pain and suffering and this hurt that he's gone through by just getting with different women and kind of trying to forget about it. And yeah, that playboy lifestyle, because people won't ask questions. People will see guys like that and won't ask questions, won't go, oh, look, he's living that lifestyle. And that's kind of the perception that shows like this and shows of that age are trying to push onto us, is that that's cool. That's a great lifestyle. Mm. And actually, we've dug a little bit deeper and found that it's out of pain. But nobody asks the question. Nobody goes, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why do you sleep with a different woman every night? Why do you throw yourself at people? Why do you allow them to do that? Why do you, let them turn up and do this, that and the other? Why don't you have any real control? It seems like you don't have any self-control. What's going on? What's happening? You know, what's happened in your life that made you get that? It's exactly the same situation with Taylor. It's the same thing. There's got to be a pain there, a trauma there, that's kind of made her kind of set that way. But the kind of perception is that playboy lifestyle is like cool and it isn't. And and I guess Quinn's calling it out a little bit, but she does know the history. She does know where it's come from. So yeah, I think she's incredibly judgy.
But that's what I mean. Like, because she knows it, you'd think you'd have more understanding, right? And I was only starting to laugh because I was being like, he's using women, but I was going to make a silly joke, but I reframed. And with all of those things, with sex, drugs and alcohol, it's all about sinking below thinking, in that you're using things to allow to disallow you to engage with that pain, to engage with thinking about the trauma or whatever the real thing is. It's like a way to, it's like escapism. But you're not really escaping. You are just falling below thinking, sinking below thinking. I think that's a great comparison with Taylor, because that is the same situation. But unlike Taylor, Clay has now expressed it. Has he told Nathan?
I don't think he had. He might have done since, but he certainly hadn't before. So
I feel like he has now, hasn't he? I feel like that came out. I'm not 100% sure. It's hard watching these in with the gaps. I mean, and we had like a 2-week gap in between these ones. Like, it's can be hard to remember, especially when we watch a lot of TV. Yeah. But okay, so what's your prediction for the Nathan and Haley and Taylor and David and Quinn and Clay? We've kind of covered those six.
Like Nathan and Haley will kind of like drift along as they normally do. I think, you know, there's no drama at the moment, so, and they mention it, maybe there's expected drama later on. Quinn and Clay, I don't know, I feel like as a couple they're really like, they're quite sweet together, they're quite nice once they get over the you know, judgmentalness of it all. There's like a niceness behind it, but I kind of feel like they're not destined for like real, like true happiness. Do you know what I mean? I feel like, you know, where there's some couples like Haley and Nathan are really like kind of destined for that happiness, and you know, there's blocks in the way, but they overcome it and then they're happy again. You know, like kind of in this episode, your family's crazy or your family's crazy, and it was just like, ha, 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 we all love each other, and we've got our happy little son in the other room with his stupid mate. So I really don't like Chuck. But then,
oh poor Chuck.
I feel like Quinn and Clay are just gonna let either their past or their opinions of each other, like her opinions of him, and situations with like Kylie, like maybe something like that will arise again. It's just like a lack of trust there somewhere, like a deep set kind of lack of trust perhaps. I'm not sure, but I just feel like they're kind of destined for it to just be a little bit rocky. And if David and Taylor sort of stick around, they're not going to be together long, are they? I think David's kind of recognised the error of his ways and will kind of, by the next episode or the one after that, it'll be like, yeah, we're kind of not together anymore because we were doing it to kind of get back at you, and it's wrong. So let's call it a day. But he might stick around. You never know. There's eligible Tree Hillers around that he might fall in love with. Millicent is a potential. Victoria.
He needs someone that likes movies so the home theater can really shine.
Yeah, well, Taylor loves the home theater.
She's been screaming to God a lot recently.
Oh, God.
And she's been satisfied nightly.
And oh so rightly.
She had so many one-liners.
She did.
In this episode, for sure.
She had so many one-nighters as well, by the looks of it.
Though, do you get the impression that they haven't even slept together and that maybe it's just for show?
Yeah, I kind of felt like that. I thought it was all like a bit like, we're going to throw it in your face, but actually we haven't done anything either. And I think that would have been interesting if he'd said, actually, funny enough, when she admits, like, I never slept with Clay, we still haven't. If he admitted it as well, I said, actually, never slept with Taylor. But I kind of think Taylor almost wouldn't let that happen. It's like, let's do it just to make a point, you know. So, yeah.
Well, she almost, like, was going for Nathan again. Like, when you mentioned the Coyote Ugly bar in season two. Was it her that stopped it from happening? Or was it him? I think it was her.
I think it was her,
That stopped it. It was like she took him to the point and then was like, almost like as if to try and show him what he actually wanted wasn't that or something like that. Don't know. It was a confusing interaction.
Such a long time ago.
But okay, so we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Absolutely.
Do you want to talk mouth? Miss Lauren, I guess Millie-ish, that she could kind of go over to the Brookside, or we've also got Brooke, Victoria, Julian, Alex.
Let's go
both
with
Alexes.
Let's go with Mouth and his kind of journey and the people he interacts with, because it's only the two. The place is a pigsty.
But is it?
Because all of those plates and all of those dishes were absolutely spotless, and that is 100% crew. We need this place to look messy. Grab everything off the counters, whack it in the sink, everything out of the cupboards, whack it on the side, and we'll make it look like things need washing up. None of that needed washing up. You could have just put it straight back in the cupboards. It was all clean. So essentially, Mouth is kind of like, you know what, Millicent, you can't live like this. I'm going to sort this out for you while you're going to your first day of work, essentially, or like back at work. Asked her if she's going to go to rehab again, and she's not sure. She's like considering it one day at a time kind of thing. I think she's at the moment, isn't it? You know, just one step forward each time. And as he's tidying up, he gets a visit from Miss Lauren. Miss Lauren's like, oh, you know, Skill said you were back in town, so I thought I'd pop in and see you. How random. So weird. So weird. And all it does for me is spark interest in one another. That's all it's going to do. And it's going to cause a bit of friction. Like, Millie's going to come back and find them, or Millie's going to be upset because she's really happy at the moment that Mouth is like, yeah, I'm going to stick around for you, which he says at the end that he's going to stay a bit longer as well. You know, just him staying there for the day was nice, but staying even longer is going to be even better, and a really good support network for her. But it's going to be like hampered by Miss Lauren kind of being around. Miss Lauren being a good fit potentially for Mouth. You know,
she's nice. Has she got a solid job?
She is actually a teacher, which is, you know, yeah, hard to find in Tree Hill.
She's very pretty. Yeah. She's really nice, charismatic, funny, intelligent. But is Miss Lauren actually the best female character we have?
Potentially, currently.
Deb.
Currently, I mean, like, Deb. Still within the show. Deb's not been in it for ages, so she's like new Deb, isn't she? That's kind of what we...
New, young, drug-free Deb.
That's it. We've got no addictions yet, except for the python.
Imagine that's Mouth's thing. He just drives all women to drugs. Like, it's actually him. He's the variable that turns people. Like, give it a year, Miss Lauren snorting off of mirrors, yeah, and all sorts.
He is the one. He's their dealer. It'll be interesting to see what the dynamic will be if Skills ever comes back, if that's ever likely to happen, if they do have a connection, if they do have a relationship, which it's too random for them to be in the building together, for her to play these silly games like, let's do the CSI thing, we can recreate the scene, let me clean the vomit off the wall for you because you're a wuss. You know, there's all of these things. There's absolutely no reason for them to be put together other than future of a relationship. This is how these things are written and put together. So if that doesn't happen, then that whole scene was completely pointless. Utterly pointless.
I can't believe that he let her clean the sick off of the wall. Yeah. But right, so wait, that's, how did we get here? Oh yeah, Mouth and Miss Lauren. Yeah, so you think something's gonna pop off?
Yeah, I think Skills isn't gonna be too happy when he finds out, but Millie's gonna be really unhappy when she finds out. So,
but do you think it's fair game? Like, if Mouth was to go there, do you think he needs to go to Skills for a green light first?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think, like, in my opinion, no. I think people find each other, don't they, in certain situations. And, like, they're separated. He's gone off to LA to pursue this career. Didn't even invite her, you know. And there's all of that. So, although they're still friends and obviously in contact, and there's a connection there, it doesn't feel like it's permanent. So I kind of feel like it's okay. You know, I think be open and honest about it and say, look, Skills, this has happened. Rather than him finding out in a different way, shall we say, like walking in on them or whatever, you know, which Millie is about to do.
Walking in on the python. Someone's let the python out the cage. Miss Lawrence just in the corner screaming, ah!
I can't get out of here. It can see me.
I'm in its shadow and it's cold.
Another 6 weeks of winter.
Oh, God. I realise it wasn't sick on the wall. Well,
it was venom.
Don't look directly at it. It's winking at me.
It's spitting.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
My word.
36 years old.
Going on six.
We started this when we was 32.
It feels so long.
Make you feel weird.
It feels so long, doesn't it? But it's gone so quickly.
I feel too old to go to conventions and things now. Like, I was thinking this the other day. It's like, I don't think I could go and ask Craig Sheffer for an interview anymore. Like, I feel too, like, we're peers. Like, not in terms of, like, career, but just, like, you know, neither of us are throwing up under people's beds or whatever. You know, like, we're all way grown. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's a youngster's domain, isn't it? It's
a young person's game, this. But, okay. So, all right. Well, that kind of does your prediction for Mouth and Millie.
Move on to Millie, yeah, in the shop and Brooke and all that. And
What?
The frosty why? Reception.
Why? Like, okay. So, Brooke is being kind of is cold to Millie. But why? Like, okay, yeah, she stole the dress, whatever, yeah. Okay, the consequence was she lost her job, right? Lost her modelling, lost all the money, lost whatever. You know that she's developed a drug habit, which obviously is not a good look, but you're also meant to be supportive, right? And you wanted to go to rehab and do whatever. So why are you being so cold to her right now? I don't get it.
Didn't she at one point try and, like, extort her for $500,000?
Yeah, but she was on drugs. I
so it's okay.
No, but I just mean, like, it's not like she was in her right mind.
When I have my eventual breakdown and binge, right?
Yeah.
And I'm extorting you for £500,000. Will you forgive me straight away?
For this podcast, you're like trying to be like, I want 100% of the Patreon money.
Give me the money. I'm a Brett Raven.
I've got an opening in my lineup.
I did Steve the Chimp for too long.
Biting that lip. Yeah, where is he? None of these other kids matter. Oh. I have the relationship with this chimpanzee. Yeah, I mean, no, I don't. So you're saying it's cool, it's justified for her to be so cold.
I'm saying be civil. Don't be that cold. It's very frosty, but I understand it, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying I would do it, but I'm saying I get it. I get that she's hurt. She's feeling hurt. She's hurt on so many levels. She's hurt because of the whole Julian situation. She's hurt because of Alex. She's hurt because of Millie and the way Millie's acted. So Millie's the one that's there and present and visible. So it's like, I'm uncomfortable with you being back because you stole from me and I've been your friend for this long. I made your model and you kind of turned that into this kind of mess, binge sort of thing, and then tried to kind of extort money from me. So I'm really not happy about the situation. I'm not comfortable around you. So I get it. I genuinely get it. But I probably would have been like, you're right, you go and put the kettle on. Bye. You know, don't put anything in it that isn't sugar.
I mean, they get there by the end, right? And it's a sweet moment where Brooke is like, oh, hey, can you help me with this? You know, and she's like pinning a dress or whatever on like a, not a mannequin, what would you call it? Like a...
It's a mannequin, like a dummy sort of thing.
Yeah. And so that is like nice. It's like, that's the olive branch. And I guess Victoria is kind of the one that led her there. So like you said, Victoria and Paul, Julian's dad, Schmoolian's dad, have really... done a 180, haven't they? So yeah, okay, what about the Julian Alex creepy director? Literally couldn't be more of a dickhead, but gets punched in his head.
I can't help but feel that, like, One Tree Hill at certain points throughout kind of each season tries to expose people like this in this industry, like with the whole music industry. It's all kind of like that, and they're exposing it. And then with the film industry previously, with the last director, with the geezer from Dawson's Creek, exposing it. With this, now exposing it. But it's kind
it
built within
happening.
The makeup of the show. It's really weird. It's quite awkward, isn't it?
Well, you missed Scream 3, Well, I know you've seen it at some point. I've watched it with you in childhood, right? But there's this double layer to when you watch it now, because in Scream 3, there's a film within a film. Like, there's Scream 3, and then the in the film they're making the movie Stab 3 or Stab 2 or whatever, and so it's all based on film sets and whatever. And in the film there's this producer who is all horrible and like seedy and whatever, and it comes out that he had like, I think it was raped, or if not raped, it was like, you have to sleep with me to get this job kind of thing, this to an actress, and the actress had to sleep with like multiple people in the same night kind of thing, like all this horrible Jesus. shit. And it turns out that actress is Sydney's mum, and that's kind of how a lot of this stuff had kicked off and whatever. But so that's all horrible and in the film, but it's a film about a producer that's making actresses sleep with him. But Scream 3 and all of them Scream movies up to that day was produced by Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
So it was like this like mirroring of reality, but within the film. And so, yeah, it's like happening. I get what you're saying.
But he gets his, what's coming to him. I think it was. Well, for the entire episode, you think you just fight back, Alex or Julian? Come on, step in and do something. And I'm quite upset that I didn't say on the watch along, like, why doesn't he just direct it? Because I was thinking the whole time, why doesn't he just direct it? He knows the script because he wrote most of it. He knows Alex knows how to get the best out of her, and that's exactly what he says at the end of the film. When Paul kind of like, you're on top of the list, son, and lets him go and direct the film. So I actually really liked Julian and Brooke's scene kind of towards the end. Kind of felt like...
Flirty. It was a bit lighthearted.
Yeah, we're like kind of back to normal. Brooke's voice is less croaky now, I noticed, in this episode. So it's less like hush. Unfortunately, mine is croaky and horrible at the moment. But I quite liked it. It's quite nice. Bit of, I'll do it. If you're the director, make it happen, and I'll, and I'm the best in the world. And it was kind of fun again. And I thought, oh, we haven't had this for a while. It's all just been doom and gloom and drawing pictures of men with nooses around their neck and stuff, because, that's a normal thing to do.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice. She kind of had a bit of like a glint in her eye again. Like, she kind of seemed like just lighter. And yeah, like, she sort of throws the orange up and catches it and on her exit and stuff. It's like, oh yeah, this is like old Brooke. Not to say she has to be like that, but it was nice to see.
And it's not to say that we can't understand why she's been the way she's been. She's been through some really tough stuff, tough times, like dealing with the kind of feeling of betrayal and deceit, and the issues with not being able to get pregnant, and she's been through. Sorry, go on.
Well, she got beat by Sam's brother.
Yeah, exactly. And having to, Sam then going off with her birth mom and the other kid that I can't remember the name of that she sent back home. So there's just so much that's happened to her that you can understand that feeling. So it was nice to kind of have a bit of the old twinkle in the eye kind of Brooke again. Which was nice. It was a nice moment. So hopefully that connection builds again, and Alex isn't a blocker. Either Alex isn't a blocker. If anything, we'll just push them together, or Alex and Millie looks like it. There's a little glimmer from him looking at her, and when she basically blanked him, he looked a bit disappointed. So there's potential there as well. He's basically a sort of more handsome and butch version of Mouth, isn't he? So
it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. That's it. Well, with that being said, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast,
how could you not?
Check us out, ravenshoops.net. Why, Dom? Because basketballs go through
hoops,
but yet they also go through
nets.
ravenshoops.net. Join the party. and get exclusive merch like what I've got on right now, Adidas, Nike. It's the real shit. Really cool stuff. It's exclusive to our patrons, as well as early access to our content, access to all of the watch along videos. They're archived there in one easy to use list. It took me ages to put it together, but it's there. So you can watch all of One Tree Hill with us forever from season three onwards. We didn't record them in the second season, and we didn't watch the first season, but they're all there along with lots of other additional content as well. So, and our Discord, which people, you know, write in every day. So if you want to get involved, ravenshoops.net. Dom, who was your favorite performer of this episode?
That's a really good question. It's hard. I think it's quite hard to pick because there's some really good performances all the way through. I really toyed with the idea of Lisa Goldstein. Yeah. I think I might go for her. She cried. She had a bit of a crying moment. She's like the perfect crier for quite sensitive, and she does it so well, so well. She genuinely looked happy to see Mouth, and that is real acting. So I go with her. What about yourself, my good man?
That's good. I am going to go with Lindsay McKeon. I think that's how you pronounce it. Who played Taylor. And I mean, I don't like the character, but I think she plays her really well and plays that kind of I'm a bitch and I don't even know why, or I know why, but I'm not going to explain why. Nice. Really well.
Should we call out the obligatory short shorts shot as she's walking away?
Yeah, so we called it out in the watch along, but there was a couple. There was some with Quinn as well, while she was like lying in the pool, which was just like,
and
yeah,
Kylie as well.
Yes, yeah, just super unnecessary sort of body shots of women in a show that's predominantly to a female audience. Mm. It really doesn't make much sense.
Yep. Odd. Very odd.
What about your favorite character of the episode?
I'm going to say Julian. I think Julian.
Julian.
Julian, 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 Julian. Julian punching the director. Was his name Peter or whatever? Giving him a smack in the face was overdue. It should have happened a lot earlier. Should have just fired the guy and got rid of him. But I think the smack was kind of justified towards the end because of how he was treating Alex. And then him having the kind of, you know, I guess back and forth with Brooke, getting upset with her, going and saying, like, I can't believe you just dumped this box on me and sent your toy boy to send it. And there's a lot of that, isn't there? A lot of standing up for yourself. But also kind of, I guess, having the balls to go back to Brooke and be like, look, I need the best and you're the best. Come and design the costumes for the show. Despite what's just happened between them. So, yeah, go Big Bad Julian. What about you, my man?
Yeah, it's hard to not say Julian. I mean, I think honorable mention to Nathan. Nathan's good in this episode with his moments with David, you know, the kids, all of that stuff. But I think I have to go Julian as well. I mean, he really stood up for Alex. He stood up for himself. He made things happen. It's hard to not love Julian. Schmoolian.
That's it.
What about your favorite background performer?
One line or less. I've got the perfect the perfect guy. I've gone for the locksmith.
Yeah, the bloody locksmith.
Yeah. He's there. He just says, here's your key, sir, and then off on his merry way. Also noticed that the lights were left on Clay's car as well when he's getting out. Doesn't care about battery. Doesn't care.
What a fucking prick. Like, well, yes, of course, the locksmith is the perfect choice. Nice. One line, had a night. He had the van that looked like Marv and Harry's van from Home Alone. It really did. Had the same kind of like headlights. What about your favorite line of the episode?
Well, I think you know the line I picked. It was the director's line, which was incredibly harsh, but sort of out of the blue and very One Tree Hill-like, where the director, Peter, whatever his name is, says, it doesn't help that she's gone down more times than the sun. I was not expecting it. It was a shocking line, and that's why I've picked it for shock factor.
The sun's been down so many times.
Yeah, so many. And you, sir?
I actually went, it kind of pairs with your line nicely, for the conclusion of when Julian says, after he punches the director, when he comes to, tell him he's fired.
It was a good moment, wasn't it? It was a great moment.
What about your, and it's so important on this podcast, your favourite song of the episode?
Unfortunately, couldn't catch the name of the song or who it's by, but the song that's playing when they're having dinner, and it's like boom, 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 it's quite bassy and stuff, but yeah, I go with that song. I thought it was pretty cool. And it goes on for quite a while, like over a couple of scenes as they're sort of cutting through, but yeah, that one. What about you?
Well, right, so I don't know if you caught this, but at the end of the episode, and it's quite rare that they do this, but there was like a kind of like a montage. We're going through different scenes and they played the song, and they played like the whole of the song. they don't do it very often, but no. So I'm going to go with that one.
Nice. Good choice.
And then last but not motherfucking least. Ooh. It's the precious.
Motherfucking precious.
Rating. Dom, did you have a number in mind before we started this conversation? You only had like 30 seconds before we started recording.
Yes, I think so.
Has it increased, decreased, or stayed the same?
I'm sure it stayed the same. And what about you, Simon? Same questions.
I formulated a number relatively early on into our conversation. I thought, it could be this. And then I felt comfortable with it, and I still feel comfortable with it.
Nice.
Ashley, if you're listening, and if you're not, what the fuck? We I think I've been forgetting to keep track of the ratings. Or maybe I might be up to date, but you assured us that you would keep note. So I'm hoping that that's still the case. We love you. Thank you. Ready to say it after three?
I'm ready. Born ready.
One, two, three, six. Seven.
Ooh.
For clarity, Dom was a seven. I was a six. Talk to me about a seven.
Now, this episode had lots of different moving parts and lots of different moments. I think... Oh, let's start with the mouth kind of Millie and Miss Lauren kind of situation. If that was completely pointless and nothing happens in the future between mouth and Miss Lauren, utter waste of time. And this episode is like a six. But I think there's potential for that. There's legs in that. There's future in that. And in an avenue that they're going to explore. You know, they might have a little fling, a bit of a relationship, whatever it might be, and it's going to impact on Millie and her kind of progression and getting back to like normal, finding her feet again. And there's potential for it to have impact on skills if he ever returns, if we ever see him again. So it's kind of interesting to me. Then we've got the Brooke kind of situation, kind of really depressed, and we've not really liked Brooke much lately. But today was a glimmer of hope. There was a glimmer of like that old spark's back. And like we said throughout the podcast, you know, she's gone through so much. And this person, you know, if she wants to be miserable and upset and live the way she's living, she deserves it. She can make that choice. But she kind of made a choice to be kind of fun and playful. And that was nice. It was good to see. So hopefully we're on an upward trend there. The whole sister scenario, the awkwardness, I thought is played out really well, acted quite well. There was a lot of silly moments, you know, like the whole dishes not being actually dirty and stuff and all that. But like you said, Nathan kind of coming in to kind of save the day, sorts it out between the sisters, tries to sort it out between the fellas, sorts it out between Jamie and Chuck and puts Chuck in his place. And that's always a positive for me. So I just kind of feel like on balance of things, it was actually a 7 rather than a lower number, because I know there's episodes that we've talked about that I think were worse than this, and we've ended up giving them a 6. So that's my basis for the result, shall we say.
Yeah, basing it on the barometer of previous episodes. I think that this is very memorable as an episode. Mm-hmm. And I think I struggle with, I don't like some of the content because it frustrates or saddens me, like the Taylor stuff.
Yeah.
But that is the point of it. It's meant to evoke that reaction or emotion. So in that way, it does its job and is effective. I think there's good performances. I like the Julian, Brooke, Alex stuff, not what she goes through, but the fact that Julian stands up for her and all of that stuff. So yeah, I can go to a 7 quite easily, I think. So
nice.
We'll call this one a 7. It's in the books. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. It is really humbling that anybody listens to this at all. So, you know, thank you very much. Any final words, Dom, before we get out of here?
Just love to echo what Simon says. Yeah, thanks for listening. And yeah, keep coming back. We love it. Keep coming back. Keep send us some stuff, like questions and things. Throw stuff out there.
Yeah.
You put us on the spot a bit. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want a bit of, you know, back and forth, innit? A bit back and forth. Also, I feel like people are following me as well on Instagram, and that follow back guarantee is still in play, I guess. I think we've never changed that term and condition. So, I think somebody followed me today that I need to follow back. I haven't actually been on Instagram. I just saw the notification. Like some point this afternoon, but I didn't bother looking at Instagram, so I will follow them back.
I like that you just instantly assume that it's from the podcast.
Well, didn't we induct a Jimmy into the team? I'm sure we did. I might have made that up completely. I'm sure we had a Jimmy, and I started being followed by a Jimmy.
I was also followed by a Jimmy today, so if they're following you too, then that makes sense.
Yes.
It would make sense that it's a podcast thing. But who knows?
I'm going to confirm the follow.
We're both checking. Yes, Jimmy has also gone to follow me too. Okay. Jimmy likes our podcast.
Oh, so, he follows Ben Chilwell though.
Who's that?
Ben Chilwell is a footballer for Chelsea Football Club.
Oh, okay.
And Mo Salah. You know what, Jimmy? I'm going to give you a chance. Just this once. So, we'll see how this goes.
Well, Dom, it's time to wrap this up. As I now get to choose, I would like you to wrap us up as somebody from Newcastle, please.
Part with the lads. Straight in, no mucking about. Gonna go absolutely all in for the Ravens. All right, you with me?
Oh yeah.
How we? Come on then. Right, we're gonna do Ravens on 3. Gonna pretend you're Alan Shearer. You're gonna point up in the sky like you just scored a goal. Point up. You got the little island of hair. Aye, that's it. Well done, pet. So we're gonna do Ravens on 3. 1, 2. I love a stutty cake. You ever heard of stutty cakes? Google them stutty cakes. Do you remember Geordie Racer from when we were kids at school? Watching that on TV? No. You don't remember Geordie Racer, the guy that had pigeons?
No.
Mate, you got to sort your priorities out. And 3. Ravens!
La Ravens!